Very good evening to you. Welcome to another edition of From the Boardroom to the Locker Room. And today we kind of half in the boardroom and half in the locker room because we have the South African men's hockey coach, the men's hockey manager, and the team vice captain joining us on the show this evening. Let me firstly introduce, I think in order of, I guess, seniority, the manager, Nhlanhla Mlambo. How are you doing, Nhlanhla?
Good, how are you, Louis?
Very good, thank you. Now we'll talk to the coach, Gareth Ewing. How are you doing, Gareth?
Good, thanks for having us, man.
And in no order, let's be perfectly honest, because he does most of the running on the field, the vice-captain, Keenan Hall. Keenan, nice to have you with us.
Hey, Louis, yeah, thanks. It's great to be here.
Let's start off by going back a couple of weeks. And first of all, congratulations to everybody. And I guess as much as I say congratulations, a little bit of disappointment coming out of I mean, it's brilliant that you got fourth place, but you were looking to try and do better in the Commonwealth Games, weren't you? Let's start with Gareth.
Yeah, Louis, I mean, it's a funny feeling to be disappointed with the fourth place when, you know, the last time we were at the Commonwealth Games, I think we came 10th. So it's a huge step forward. But when you get that close to a medal, there's obviously a little bit of disappointment that you couldn't quite get over the line.
Keenan, I direct this one to you. I mean, I know I often say it on radio shows that third and fourth place playoff is like kissing your own sister. But you had to actually get yourself in and up and ready again for that. That match actually had some kind of significance in terms of a bronze medal.
Louis, I think if you look at it, every one of our players in the squad have played a third and a fourth place game in their lives and everyone has hated it. But I mean, it was our chance to get a medal. So for us as a team, it wasn't that hard to get up and going. You know, it was still a massive and huge opportunity, one of the biggest games of our careers. It's just unfortunate we couldn't get over the line there.
And Nhlanhla, you must be very proud of a squad of players that went out there and represented us with great aplomb.
We are extremely proud. And I think we definitely set the stage at the Tokyo Olympics and we just wanted to keep growing. And so the performance, the guys laid it out on the field and showed exactly what they're capable of.
Let's stay with you for a moment. And I say this with the greatest respect. Obviously, rugby, cricket, the two top sports in South Africa, obviously most supported and the ones in which, I guess, by virtue of the professionalism and how it's going in those two arenas. But then when it comes to hockey, I mean, you guys have performed brilliantly in Cup of Nations, African Cups, Championships, and also on the international circuit. So, I mean, there's a lot to be proud of.
Yeah, extremely. And I think trying to show South Africans just where the sport is going. We're just trying to continue to grow our reach, making sure that people actually are watching us and paying attention to us.
Gareth, the squad that you took with you to the Commonwealth Games, obviously still a mixture of youth and experience and hopefully one that will continue on better and better results.
What I believe was the best 18 players that represented for me to actually show the experience that's growing. So you're right, we had a bunch of youngsters in amongst some of the older guys. But the first time in a long time that we've taken a team away with more than 1,000 caps experience. So, you know, we're very much moving in the right direction in terms of exposure and being able to give guys the knowledge of playing at that high level that they need to be successful.
And staying with you, not just an experienced mix of age, but also players that are applying their trade overseas, which obviously is a huge advantage these days in our hockey team.
Yeah, it's an important part of the game to be able to play at a league level overseas. It gives you a chance to play competitively very consistently. I think we had 12 guys out of these 18 are representing clubs overseas, whether that's on a full-time or a part-time basis. So, yeah, it's a big advantage for us. It's something that I've promoted quite vigorously within the squad. And it's very, very encouraging for me to see the guys getting out there and competing at a high level for their clubs every week.
And Keenan, as a 30-year-old in the side, one of the senior members, you must have seen a lot of changes and some great growth and development.
Yeah, and I think as Gareth said, and you rightly pointed out, we had a good core players that came through from last year's squad up into the tournament now. And then to see some guys after 6 months, you know, like just finding their voice, their leadership skills in the group. There are a lot of youngsters in it, you know, because we don't usually want to look at the squad as young guys, but in terms of experience-wise, it's really awesome to see a lot of guys stepping up. You know, we want to create an environment where everyone is leading from your position. You don't need an armband or age to determine that. So we are growing something where everyone has a voice, and you can see that on the field.
It must be really difficult. I mean, am I right? Are you guys all professional or semi-professional these days?
Yeah, so there's a mixture in the group. There's guys that are studying at varsity, and then you get guys that are playing overseas for their clubs, and that's the only thing they're doing with a bit of coaching. And then you get guys who have managed to settle themselves over, whether it's South Africa or in Europe, where they're juggling their work, full-time work, while playing. So you have guys at different phases of their lives, and yeah, but we all have a common goal, you know, which makes it easy to come together. But yeah, we have our own challenges. We just embrace it as a South African nation and as a hockey community.
And Tantra, as the manager of the team, it must be extremely difficult managing a bunch of guys who are spread out all over the place.
I think in today's world, with Zoom, and maybe we partially have to thank COVID for that, with digital connections and being able to connect with everyone digitally, it makes it slightly easier. But I think having a program that you kind of get to see the guys more often, and hopefully we build towards that, would make the whole management aspect a lot easier.
Gareth, how difficult was it during COVID? I know everybody uses COVID and the Ukraine war as excuses these days, but it must have been extremely, extremely difficult living in bubbles and not being able to be together to actually get the guys prepared for the Commonwealth Games and obviously other tournaments as well.
You know, the anxiety around tournaments and wondering if somebody's going to test positive at the wrong time and throw a spanner in the works is something that you never quite get used to dealing with. I mean, even now at the Commonwealth Games, we were still having to test positive twice before we were allowed to compete. So, yeah, that stuff isn't great. And the anxiety and the uncertainty around, you know, when are we going to be together again? When are we going to be competing again? That stuff, you know, it's very difficult. And that period of time when we were waiting for the Olympics after it had been rescheduled, that was, you know, really difficult. So, I mean, I give the guys a lot of credit because we made the most of those situations. But, you know, when you get back out and you're playing in front of a full crowd again, like we were in Birmingham, you realize how much we've actually missed over the last 2 years.
And how difficult, Keenan, was it for you? I know you're vice captain of the side, but obviously I have a lot to say. To actually, I mean, the coach can do as much as he can over the white line. It's in your and the captain's hands. How much did it take to motivate the guys to make sure that they were up for it?
Yeah, I'm going to be brutally honest with you now, Louis. If you have to motivate someone to be playing for their country, then they shouldn't be there. But in terms of everyone just being on the same page and having a common goal. And I think with COVID coming along, it really allowed us to just focus on our hockey, you know. And I think we really maximized that time when we were in our bubbles and all of those sort of things, because we were always working towards something. So, by the time we stepped on the field, we all had a common goal. So, and then again, also, we're playing in front of crowds, and it's just what you want to be doing as an international athlete. You know, we're in the entertainment industry, yes. So you want to be playing out there with your family, your mates, the community supporting you, whether it's watching on TV or in the stands. So a lot of guys have a lot of passion for the badge on their chest. So I would hope that we don't really have to motivate them that much before playing an international match. But as I said, we have a lot of leaders in the group, so yeah, our job is easy.
Yeah, look, I fully agree with you that you shouldn't need to be motivated when you're playing for your country. But let's be honest, we're all human beings, and every one of us gets up in the morning and we don't always feel the same. So, I mean, take a bit of credit. I mean, honestly, you got the guys up there and some outstanding results.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, rightfully so, we're all human. And you know, we have a few guys who are just, they have a very high EQ, so they know who to chat to, who to just have the little conversations with. So just to have that personal relationship, say, or Tlantla said, we spent a lot of time together, so we've got to build some really good connections. So you could almost pick up when a guy is not his best in the morning, and then you just have that chat with him. Because we're not professionals, so we have a lot of other white noise around us, whether that's work commitments or whatever the case may be, what you're doing next year, whether it's a test or exams coming up. So there are those factors that you have to think about. But again, as I said, the fact that we spend so much time together, you know what's happening in everyone's lives. So then it's easier to connect. And, you know, when you get on the field, you know exactly what that guy needs. from you as a leader. So that was, that's part of leadership, but it's also just part of relationships off and on the field.
And Tlantla, let's go back to you, and if we may, talk a little bit more about the Commonwealth Games and the off-field activities. Just watching, the facilities in Birmingham looked outstanding, weren't they?
They were quite incredible, actually. Made everything that much easier for us to just prepare and focus on the tournament.
So when we as fans watch the Commonwealth Games, we basically see the actual game and that's all. Tell us more about where the guys had to stay. Was it in a village? How did it go? What was the circumstances around every day and how we kept them all in what was, I suppose, a university bubble?
So I think everyone knows that Durban was actually meant to host the Commonwealth Games this time around, but then it was due to COVID and various other reasons, was moved back to the UK. And I think what the UK decided to do was just use the university in Birmingham as the grounds just to host and accommodate all the athletes. So we stayed in the main village, the CVG, the Birmingham Village, which was basically the residences of the university. And each sort of CGA or each host or each nation had a specific res that they would stay in. And the rooms or the accommodation was actually quite great. Everyone had their own space. So there was opportunities for you to kind of just go into your own space if you needed to. But there was also vast opportunities for us to just get together out on the lawns, eating together. The dining halls, the dining facilities were quite world class. The meeting rooms, they were what they were, and we made the best of that. And so, yeah, I think just as an all-out experience, just the facilities.
Gareth, let's turn our attention back to you.
Hockey's an extremely fast-growing sport across the country, and especially at high school level. And you really are getting the pick of athletes at the moment. So, yeah, the sport's in a good place from a participation point of view. And I think anybody can watch an international game and realize the level of technical skill and athleticism that you're seeing there.
And Keenan, it's also changed quite dramatically, hasn't it, over the last decade or so? The speed of the game, the laws, rules of the game, just so spectator-friendly as well.
Yeah, no, 100%. And it's just become all action gung-ho, you know, as Gareth rightfully mentioned there, that the skill levels now at the moment and the technical ability, the athletic ability of the players on the international circuit is second to none. I always say that hockey players must be one of the fittest athletes in the world. If you see the body positions that the guys get into on the field, the speed that the ball moves, it's all action and it's exciting for people to be watching that, you know.
And Tlantla, when you look outside of the national team, I guess as manager of the national team, your eye is focused on up and coming young talent around the country. What do you see coming through?
I see quite a lot of talent. There's a promising young under 21 squad that has been selected for the upcoming interprovincial tournament. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of hunger, especially looking at how our senior men's team has performed. I see a lot of young kids aspiring to play in the squad and working hard to earn their place in the squad. So it's quite exciting to see what's coming through the pipeline.
And obviously, the more exposure you guys get, I guess the better it is to foster those kids to choose to play hockey.
Yeah, 100%. Tournaments like the Pro League that we were involved in for the first time this year definitely give a lot of youngsters the guys and the understanding that there's opportunities to get test caps and there's opportunities for international exposure. And kids kind of looking at the squad and looking at the team, there's a bigger, broader understanding of the kind of opportunities that are available.
How do we entice these kids to turn their attention away from the more favorable sports where definitely the money is much better?
That's a tricky question. Coming through the school system, I've always looked at it. It seems it's always the kids who enjoy it the most. In terms of how to entice them, it's just making sure that they understand that the culture in the sport is the right culture. It breeds opportunity. It gives everyone an opportunity to get exposed at every level. and to just continue to grow. And I guess one of the big things that we have going for us, and again, I'll mention culture, is that the first and foremost, we're trying to breed human beings. We're trying to make sure that you understand what life is about, maybe just outside of the sports field, but also just looking at life in general.
Gareth, that's a very, very important point that Nthantlo's just made right now. I mean, it's not just about taking a stick and getting on a hockey field, is it? It's a lot more than that.
Very much so. We spend a lot of time sharing our cultural experiences and working on our cultural growth. And yeah, we get a lot right, but we still have a lot to learn. But we're very much focused on making sure that we're good role models to the rest of the hockey community and to youngsters who are aspiring to play at the level. And we take that very seriously. So the story that we're telling at the moment, I think, is a very positive one. And it's about being able to play hockey at a good level on the front foot and play it in the right way. So as much as we make mistakes and we still have areas where we need to progress, we're moving the sport in a good direction and we're very proud of representing the country.
Keenan, you've obviously still got a long way to go, but as a 30-year-old, a veteran, I would guess, of the side, tell us some of your experiences and what you're going to take out of hockey one day when you decide to hang up your stick.
Yeah, just listening to Tlantla and Gareth over there speaking about hockey in South Africa, and I was just thinking about it now and reflecting. You know, it's one of the only sports in South Africa. You say we have to compete with rugby and cricket and soccer, but how many of those international hockey players are coaching at schools or on hand to do clinics and those sort of things from the other sports? So it's nice that us as national players are always on hand to share experiences with kids, coach kids, inspire kids. So I just wanted to add on that point. Sorry, that was just on my mind. But in terms of my own takeaway, it's just having to balance life. You know, I think that's the most important thing is we spoke about not being professional. So hockey isn't our income or isn't our only career, and we're having to manage a lot of different other things. So in terms of your overall time management, and you know, you sacrifice very early on in your life and it's for what you want, and that sort of sets up your life in terms of you know what needs to be done to get to your goals and those sort of things. But then also, you know, it's about being in a team. You know, Atlanta spoke about culture, and you know, you have players in your team that are always testing you, making you grow as a human being. Or one of the things about being in the leadership group is sort of how to manage different personalities, how to get the best out of players as athletes, as well as people. So just dealing with different personalities, you know. Rugby has a distinct culture, you know. We know it comes from a very Afrikaans culture, and, you know, generally the Afrikaans schools in South Africa are really good at rugby, where with hockey, it's such a fast-growing sport, and it's about, you know, mixing all those cultures together. And you know, and that's such a good challenge, because in life, no one is like you are, you know, and people, you know, get like or irritated or whatever with each other. And it's part of growing that you become sort of tolerant of different people. You learn how to get the best out of people because you're all working towards a common goal. That's one of the best lessons you can learn from it, is always, you know, how to say true to yourself, but then also how to get the best out of the environment that you're in.
Currently, you're listening as I am to Keenan chatting. I guess your chest must be pumping up and you must be feeling great joy that we have somebody like Keenan, and without blowing smoke up his, you know, where right now and making him feel great. I mean, it must be fantastic to hear a vice captain of the side outside of playing the game talking like he does and explaining what must surely be an incredibly difficult job in a country like ours with so many different cultures, so many races, so many religions, to be able to unify 18 guys to actually want to fight for each other.
Yeah, 100%. I think every time we have these sort of conversations, every time you hear the leadership group talking about culture and talking about making sure we're establishing a unit, making sure that we all understand where each of us come from, making sure that everyone jumps on a Zoom call when it's team time or when the league gets together to just try and think of good, better ways to engage each other. It always just makes you just yeah, happy. As you said, kind of pumps your blood. And yeah, I think it's a conversation that the squad's been having for quite a while. I think since Gareth took over, there's been quite a lot of work that's gone into making sure that we understand these things. And it also makes you happy to think about how even some of the more senior players of the squad, guys who've been in the squad for a very long time, who kind of realize that, you know, when you're part of the squad, you're not just ticking a box. You know, these are people that you're going to spend a lot of time with. And even after playing, even after you hang up your stick, you call it quits, you still want to have these relationships with these people. And the only way you want to have these relationships is if you establish that level of trust and engagement and making sure that as a cultural unit, we understand each other's backgrounds.
Let's bring the coach back off the bench. Gareth, tell us a bit about what the guys do outside of the actual playing. Keenan mentioned going around to schools and so on. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, so again, you know, the guys are very involved in hockey on a day-to-day level. They're playing for their clubs. A lot of them are coaches in their own right and very aware of being part of a community. In between that, of course, you've got guys juggling, as Keenan has mentioned, juggling careers, juggling families. So there's a lot going on. It's actually why it makes it so nice when we can manage to get together for a training environment and spending time prepping for a tournament, because we can just focus on one thing for a change. And those training opportunities that we have when we're all together are really, really valuable. So yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. It's an interesting place to be. You've got guys jumping onto calls at work. You've got guys staying in touch with families and guys under a lot of pressure, guys taking unpaid leave, be with the team. These things are, you know, very difficult to address, and they make life hard for everybody involved and actually make the experiences, when we get it right, even more worthwhile.
Where are we off to next? When is the next tournament and what are we up to?
So we've got a very busy year ahead, actually. I mean, we've played 28 test matches this year, and I think we've got another 24 to go. We've got some African competition in September against Namibia and Zimbabwe, which will be a good opportunity to introduce some younger players to the team. Then we have Nations Cup and Aslan Shah Cup in November and December, which are really, really big tournaments. One in Malaysia, and then Nations Cup is in Poch, which is really exciting to have a big tournament at home. And all of it's building up towards the World Cup, which is in India in January, which we're looking at to be kind of the peak of our performance over the last few years. There's a lot going on, and there's a lot of prep to do and a lot of planning and stress around that. But we're looking forward to being back with the guys in a couple of months.
I guess you leave the stress and the planning up to management, don't you?
Yeah, luckily, Nsansa takes care of all the admin, and I get to do the fun stuff. but yeah, it's a team effort, and there's a huge support staff who all do their bit, and none of it happens without everybody just getting involved. Eh?
Lovely stuff. So, Keenan, let's get back to you now. I mean, what our most capped hockey player, Greg Clark, 250 caps. I guess that's going to take a lot of doing to get close to, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think they also played in a time when they had about 50 test matches a year. But it's incredible achievement. I mean, it speaks about his longevity and also just about his talent, you know, as a player and his sacrifice for SA Hockey.
Okay, final question to each one of you. And I'm going to put the coach on the spot first and then come to Keenan and then to leave the last one, Slantla. You've got a little genie in front of you. You can rub the genie. What's going to come out for you, coach?
A quarterfinal place at the next World Cup in January, and a cementing our spot in the top 10 building up to the Paris Olympics.
Keenan?
Honestly, the first thing that came to my mind was getting our program more professional in terms of funding. That's what I was thinking, more backing and support and sponsorships so that we can roll out 12-month program with the SA Men's Hockey Team.
I think you've taken the genie out of Nklantla's genie as well.
Keenan literally stole the words out of my mouth. But to have a more sustainable backing from a more sort of a good commercial partner, you know, and something that will last us a lot more than or a lot longer than just focusing on the tournaments that we need to pay for, but to sustain us as a program and help us to grow. I think there's lots of commercial opportunities that we can realize. And yeah, just, I guess, let's say my wish is to have resourcing. Let's make sure that we have the right resources in place to make sure that we build this program and have a self-sustaining, fully backed, commercially backed program.
Let's hope those three wishes come true. You've been listening to From the Boardroom to the Locker Room, the coach, the vice captain, and the manager of Amas Dockies on our program this evening. Gentlemen, great to have had you with us. Thank you so much. And may all those wishes come true. And we hope to talk to you all again soon. Thank you very much.